Thursday, the 11th of October, Chof Hei Tishri, Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch, and the subject is Unraveling Bereishis.
Okay, so it will be relatively easy to find the text that we're dealing with because it is the very first pasuk of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokimus Hashamayim Ha'aretz. Pasuk is famous. The Rashis that we will be looking at are also quite famous. That doesn't make them less interesting, of course. So, the very first Rashi tells us, Omar of Yitzchak, really, we could have started the Torah in Parashas Bo'i with the very first mitzvah. And why, in that case, did we, in fact, include the entire, not just Parasha, but Sefer of Bereishis? Meaning, says Rashi, if the nations of the world tell the Yidden or Taina, listim atem, shekivashtem artei shiva goyim, that we took Eretz Yisrael and we took it away from an indigenous population, the seven nations that were in fact already living there, the Yidden will reply that kol ha'aretz l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he is allowed at will to donate it, to give it to whoever he sees fit. Now, of course, the obvious question with that Rashi is, try that at the UN. In other words, Rashi seems to imply the Goyim have a Taina, no problem. We will point to the very first Rashi and we'll say, from the beginning it was clear that Eretz Yisrael is ours because I couldn't afford to give it to us. Which means it will help not at all. So what is Rashi telling us? In order to understand that, we have to move from the very beginning of this Sefer Chumash Chum Shetera to the very end and have a look at the Sefer Keheles, which we learnt not that long ago. Shlomo HaMelech, both in Perek Aleph at the very beginning and in Perek Yudbeis at the very end, has this phrase which is perhaps the most famous in the Sefer, Hevel Havolim, Hakel Hovel, that everything's going to be translated into English as vanity, but it means that everything is essentially meaningless. And he goes on to detail what he is referring to. The pursuit of Simcha is Hevel, the pursuit of wisdom is Hevel, the pursuit of wealth is Hevel, and all the way through Keheles there's more and more that seems to end with nothingness, with emptiness. And it would appear that as a counterpoint to all of this doom and gloom is the penultimate pasuk of Keheles, where, once again, famously, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Seif dova hakel nishma, es elekim yirov, es mitzvot shemayr ki zeh kol ha'odom. You have the two alternatives. You could follow a life of Hevel, or instead, be a Yirei Elokim, keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvot, ki zeh kol ha'odom. Those are the two alternatives it would seem. Except for one minor problem. Shlomo HaMelech does not simply describe the gashmi side of existence as being Hevel. He says HaKoyel Hovel. Now HaKoyel is, as the word suggests, Koyel, everything. Which means both Ruchni and Gashmi is Hovel. But good and bad is Hovel. And that seems to be a rather fatalistic view of life. In fact, towards the beginning of Keheles, Shlomo HaMelech writes there's really no difference between the animal and the human being. The whole thing is Hevel. However, what we have to understand is that the word Hevel has two very different meanings. They are, in fact, opposites to one another. On the one hand, Hevel is something which is hot air. It's empty. Has no real value to it. On the other hand, when the Gemara wishes to describe the schus with which the world keeps going, clearly that schus has to be Torah. But not just some Torah. Because our Torah is somewhat contaminated by our thoughts, by our desires, by our ambitions. Whose Torah really keeps the world alive? Hevel tinokes shel beis rabbo. So the very same word that describes something which is empty and meaningless, that very same hevel is now the reason the whole world is still around. Because hevel refers to a breath. Now, we will, in the course of our lifetime, take millions, hundreds of millions of breaths. And what is the value of one breath? Well, if you hold your breath for a moment, or 5 or 10, will it make any difference? None at all. It will make no difference to your life whatsoever, and so the cheshbon will be 10 billion minus 2 breaths. What's it turned down? Garbage. It's no difference. However, if that heaven is a breath taken by somebody who values that breath, then not only does it not have no meaning, it has infinite meaning. If you take it in isolation, a breath has no value. And once gone, that's it. It's a physical thing. You took that breath, you breathe, you've gone further. But if you put it in context, if a person who can't take a breath manages to take one breath, what value does that breath have? Everything. And therefore, what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us is true. Hakol Hevel. Everything is that breath. The only question is, what do we use it for? If we use it for something gushly, then it's gone. It has no purpose whatsoever. But if we use it for something ruchly, if we use it to be able to keep Torah in this world, then it is Mekayim the world, and more than that. In Keheles, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Mu'uvus lo yuchol lisko, that which has become crooked cannot be straightened out. The Medrash there tells us that actually it's not quite true. That only refers to Olam Haba. But in Olam Hazer, the Mu'uvus can be made straight through tshuva, which means that the hevel that I'm taking can not only improve my life going forward, it can actually undo the life I led in the past. So it is the key to everything, and it is absolutely nothing. It's up to me. With this in mind, we see Keheles, therefore, as describing a lifetime, the cycle of life. And the question is how I choose to use that life. And Keheles therefore talks about sun rising in the morning and the sun setting. It deals with that cycle. It deals with the cycle of cradle to grave. It deals with the cycle that countries go through. There's an Ishamayim and Ishmochoma. There are cycles that take place, the cycles of life. And in this sense, it parallels the opening psukim of this week's parasha, because the 7 days are also a cycle. It's the first cycle that we ever come across in Torah. It's also the cycle of life. It contains everything. Those 7 days, everything is in those 7 days. It's also a cycle. There is also another parallel between Sefer Keheles and the first parasha of Bereishis, and that is that whenever we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we only use the name Elohim. We never use the name that we are more familiar with, the Yudkei Valkei, or let the name of Hashem. What is the idea that Keheles and the first Perek of Bereishis are bringing into being? If you look at Sefer Bereishis, or Parshas Bereishis, what we know about the world is what to do. Those psukim tell us exactly what this world contains. Tells us how it came into being, tells us what it is and how it works. But there's one thing it doesn't do. It doesn't tell us why. we have no understanding outside of the laboratory of what this world is about. So we have the Chas V'Shalom Richard Dawkins approach to life. And they have a straight pulse. Why? Because he sees the world, and by seeing the world and feeling that he understands the world, he feels he understands the Boire. But all he's got is the physical world. He has no understanding of why the world runs the way it does. And therefore we come to Kehelet. Kehelet asks all these questions, which he can't answer. Kehelet asks, why is it that there's this individual that saves the whole city and he fades into obscurity? Why is it that Tzaddikim seem to suffer and Rishonim seem to prosper? So we know what the world is. We know the sun rises and sunsets. We know there's gravity. But we have not the faintest clue as to why. So Shlomo HaMelech writes Kehelet in parallel to the first Perek of Bereishis to answer not just the what, but the why. And he says in that an ultimate pasuk, "Haselikim yirah es mitzvos of Shmur kizeh kol ha'adam." You want to know what this world is about? This world is about it being not my world, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu's. It's not mine. And therefore, because I am finite and the Boire is infinite, I actually don't understand how the world runs. However, I know why it runs. It runs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzim makes this world happen. And therefore, what's my tachlis in this world? To be the Yirei Elokim. Let's get back to that first Rashi. We ask, what is the purpose of having a rebuttal to the Goyim when they're never going to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? It's not for them. It's for us. It's for us to understand why, in fact, Eretz Yisrael is our land. Why? For one reason only. Koyach Maso Igid La'amoy. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to do with as he sees fit. That's why Eretz Yisrael is ours. And that's why I had this beautiful idea from Rabbi Lev. If you look at the Loshon in that first Rashi, it says, Lo hoya tzorech lahaschil es haTorah, and the Chodesh Hazeh, umatam posach v'bereishis. Different verbs. Lahaschil and posach. So he says, the Torah took a start in HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Psicha is a preface. It's an introduction. The whole of Sefer Bereishis is a psicha to the actual Sefer, which starts HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Why? Because if you think about it, Rashi's answer of Koyach Masa Kigid La'amoy still doesn't get to the bottom of the question. All it tells me is why somewhere in the Chamish Chomshei Torah did I have to know that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world? It doesn't answer why it had to be at the beginning. I need to know this fact. I need to know that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. Why do I need to know it at the beginning? That it doesn't answer, seemingly. But if we understand that this piece of information is a psicha, everything. What it's telling us is all of my Torah and mitzvahs, all of my life, everything that I do has to be done in the context of understanding that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It's not simply the piece of information about a country called Eretz Yisrael. My entire existence is predicated on this one idea. I am here in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It's the second last pasuk of Kehelet, and it's the very first Rashi of Bereishis. It serves as the psicha to everything that follows. It's a sheer psicha. Very beginning of Bereishis. Okay. So far, we've described the name Elokim, so to speak, in isolation. This is the name with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. The name Elokim is the name we use to describe Balach Hechaz Kulam. In other words, all the laws that exist, it's the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle. Din means laws, Ruchni and Gashmi. I control the creative gravity. It's a din. Because if I let go of this pen, I can't then beg the earth, do me a favor, just this once, don't let the pen fall to the ground. Din means this is the way it is. These are absolute laws. And therefore, we have a rhetorical with the name Elikim, which, as we said, is paralleled by Sefer Keres, which explains why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating this world. However, in that very same pasuk, Rashi deals with the name Elikim with the shittus of name Havaya, because, as the Malbim explains, the very first parak of Bereishis only contains Shem Elikim. Parak Beis and Gimel only contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hashem Elikim, with the exception of the conversation between the Nachash and Chava, but in all other areas, the whole of Parak Beis and Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to only as Hashem Elikim. And then from Parak Dalet onwards, we only get Yudkei Vavkei. Fine. We never, in fact, find Hashem Elikim put together again, except for one occasion in Makkos Bara, and then the next time is Anochi Hashem Elikecha. Fine. Says Rashi there, what is being told to us with this concept of Elikim and Yudkei Vavkei? Rashi says, Bereishis Bara Elikim, V'loi Omar Bara Hashem, She'vitchila Olav V'machshav V'livreisev V'midas Hadin. Kadosh Baruch Hu really intended to create the world for Midas Hadin. For Rasha in Olam Miskayim, it saw that the world would not survive. The Hikdim Midas Rachmim V'shotva on the Midas Hadin. Joined together Midas Rachmim, the Yudkei Vavkei, to Midas Hadin. Okay. The Sefer Avi Nachal has a problem with this. And that is, what do you mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, starts creating the world, saw, you know, not such a good idea, and changed his mind. There are two reasons you change in the middle of a project. Either because you're too tired, and, you know, you don't have enough kochos to carry out the full project, so you stop halfway, British workers. Or you understand that actually the projected outcome isn't a good idea, and instead you decide to change for the good of the project. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is magid meireishis afris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly how things are going to plan out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly is not subject to ayetus. So in what way would HaKadosh Baruch Hu change? For what purpose? And he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change anything. We note two different types of creation here. When it comes to Elikim, it's Olav HaMachshava. When we have the Shittuf in this world of Shem Havaya, it's Biyom Diber. There's Diber. It's a lower level of creation. And he says as follows. Really, the Olamos HaElyonim were created by Midas HaDin. They were created by Machshava. When it came to this world, which is a more gushly world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshatef here, Midas HaRachamim. And this world was created through Dibur, not through Machshava. And he said a very interesting idea. He says, when a person has a Yaltah, so every year it's considered a time of Din to the Neshama. The Neshama is being done every year. But over what? Over what is the Neshama still being Midas? He says, because each year the Neshama is going up through another level of Olam, of world. In which case, it is coming to a level of greater Midas Hadin. It started here, in this physical world, where there is an absolute shittuf between Rachamim and Din. And as each year goes on, the level of Din grows, because the Neshama is going higher through the Olamos HaElyonim, in which case, each year, there's a new level of Din for those original Maisim, because now it is viewed with a greater level of Din, and therefore it needs a source to get through that Din that is taking place on day. And he therefore says that currently the world that we are in doesn't function purely humans for being, but it is the destination. It is where we are headed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu started it that way, and it will end that way. And he quotes a pasuk in Kehelet, Ma shehoya hu sheyeh, ein chavos tachas ha-shemesh. Meaning, normally we translate it as, yeah, it's the old same thing. There's nothing new. He says there are two separate phrases. Ma shehoya, what there was at the very beginning, hu sheyeh will be at the very end of time. Temporarily, ein chavos tachas ha-shemesh. Temporarily, we live with this type of existence. But there is a beginning and an end, which is very different. And with this, he explains why there are so many things that have taken place temporarily. Most famously, the Gemara in Nida, which tells us that the Malach teaches the Uvar, the Me'imoi, Kala Tera Kula, and then is Meshachach the whole Tera. For what purpose? Because the Uvar needs to have a Shaychus to that Tera, and cannot do so unless at one stage it was there. Similarly, in the beginning of Bereishis, we are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into being a light, an Ur, and then saw that this could be misused by the Rishayim, and was going to use the light, La'asid Lovoy. So why bring it into being? Because we need to have it at the very beginning, because that's Masha Hoya, and it will be Yiyah. Just at the moment, the world is not royal to it. And he goes on to talk about the Ma'oros. The fact that in the beginning, the Ma'oros were similar in size. Then they were made of different size, a garden of Samara cotton. But at the end of time, as we say in Kiddush Levana, they should be equal. Masha Hoya Hu Sheyiyah. And similarly with the Luchos Rishonos, that even though we don't have them, but that the fact that they existed means that at the end of time, there will be a Horus in Chaos. We will be free from the Malach HaMavet. We will be free from all of those things that we lost when we lost the Luchos HaShemesh, but we will get back to it. And this, with this, he explains a Gemara and the idea of the Ari. The Gemara tells us that for 3 years, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were nechlekul as to who is right, according to whom should be the halacha. And the Maftana was, the Baskel told them, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, but the halacha is kedivrei Beit Hillel, which sounds cute, but doesn't seem to quite work. Because if Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, then I can pass it like anybody. Why is halacha kibbeis hillel? More than that, the Gemara in Brachos is quite direct with regard to people who custom like Beis Shammai. One would have thought, at the very minimum, it should be Das Yochid or Das Rabbi, which isn't as numerous as Beis Hillel, but it should have real merit. So first of all, we know of the famous Gemara with the story with Reb Tarfon, where as a result of saying Shema in the way he did, the Chachamim said to him that he was Mishchayev Benafshe, he was putting his life in danger, and in fact, in a way, should have been killed for what he did. The Gemara then goes on to say, Tomer of Yecheskel, also Kedivrei Beis Shammai, also Kedivrei Beis Shammai, also Kedivrei Beis Hillel, also. Rav Yosef Omar, if you do Kedivrei Beis Shammai, loy osa v'loy klum, it's meaningless, which is already somewhat strong, but it gets worse, because the opinion of Nachba Yitzhak is that if you follow Beis Shammai, you're mischayev benafshe, you're chayev misa, are following the opinion of Beis Shammai, my height. So the Arizal tells us that in Olam Hazeh we follow Beis Hillel, and La'osid Lovoi we will follow Beis Shammai. Why? Because this world, says the Ari, is the sheresh of it is chesed. And therefore we have to follow the Hillel. Whereas the Osid Lodoi, the sheresh is din. And therefore we follow Beit Shammai. If we follow Beit Shammai in this world, what are we doing? We are saying we want to live a life which is purely din, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the very beginning of Bria said, Ein ha'olam miskayim. It's not possible to live that way. And if a person tries it, it's like a miskayim benapsha. The miskayim benapsha because they want to change the whole surah of Olam Hazeh from being a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meshatef rachamim to midas ha'din, and they want to make it a place of pure din. And therefore it doesn't work. And therefore it is really Eli ve'eli divrei Elokim chayim. Because in the beginning and at the end, it's Taka Beit Shammai. And at the moment, it's Beis Hillel. Okay. One last point. And we'll touch on it briefly. It's probably really a shame it came right. Chayk Odom Arishrei. The Nefesh HaChayim famously in Shaar Aleph and Haggadah describes the level of Bechira that Odom Arishrei had. He says it's quite clear that he must have had Bechira, because otherwise there's no purpose to being created. And more than that, he was Chayte, and he was punished. You can't be punished if you're pre-programmed. You can only be punished if you did something which you had the choice not to do. One level of what was going through Odom Arishrei's mind, we have to understand that Odom was living in a world where everything was clear, where there was MS. It wasn't Tovara, that happens afterwards. So to Odom Arishrei, it's quite clear what he should be doing and what he should not be doing. And it seems very strange, therefore, that when the Nachash first comes to Chava, her name wasn't Chava yet, but when he comes to her, he says, Ask Omer Elokim, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat from this tree, the implication is speaking, so what? The Shom Shapon Hirsch points out that the emphasis is not on the word Elokim, but on Omer. In other words, don't read it as, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to, but, you know, do your own thing. It's even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to do it, who says that's mamash what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you as thinking beings. In fact, when the Nachash goes on to argue, he goes to say, the Yisim Kelekim, you'll be Yetzrei Olamos. You are able to create worlds. You're not confined to simple rules, to simple Elokim. You are able to break those rules if you see a greater Tachlis coming out of it, because you have a Torah Shebalpeh. What is Torah Shebalpeh? It's your pshat on Torah Shebichsav. Because Baruch Hu gave you Torah Shebichsav and then you run with it. And you're required to do so. Because there are all these questions that arise post-Matan Torah and Leib HaShemayim. You now have to have your own input. That's the argument of the Nachash. If that's the case, now we're now understanding the question that comes in front of Odom Arishrei very differently. Odom Arishrei's question was as follows. Which is the greater way to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? Should I just carry out the tzivui, or should I bring about a gilui into the world of Das, which would otherwise not happen, and as a result I'll be Marbek Voit Shemayim? That is his only cheshbon. It's between that which is great and that which is truly great. In fact, that is the reason it was so difficult for other Rishon to do tshuva. That only when he came across Cain and he said his Masharti in Bweri that he understood how far Tshuva could go. Why was it so difficult for him to do Tshuva? Because everything he did the same Shemayim. How can you be oiker of that through Tshuva? How can Tshuva affect that? And in that sense, the choice given to Odom Arishrei was a choice where you could almost say he was bound to fail. Clearly, he had choices, Nefesh HaChayim points out. What, in that case, was he supposed to do? The answer is that the way to be Marbek Voit Shemayim more than any other is to do Tzivri Hashem. And that is the concept of Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma doesn't mean we'll become automatons, we'll become robots. It means we will use everything at our disposal all our ability to think, to choose, to decide, and we will give it all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in that sense, that second last pasuk of Kehelet is exactly the same idea as the answer to the dilemma of Adam HaRishon. It's Elokim Yirah. More than anything else, what we have to get back to is doing exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. True, when we have a dilemma as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we have to be shake out and we have to make a decision. But when it's clear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us, to assume that there is another way that will bring about greater coverage from Ayim is wrong. And therefore, even though the question in front of Adam HaRishon was doing Toiv versus, in a way, doing greater Toiv in his mind, nevertheless, the gap between the two, the reason it was wrong is because that's not what a control was mixed up. And therefore, for us, who are, of course, nowhere near that trigger, what we have to understand is that, bottom line, we don't do a control for Tavis because we live in a control world. And that's what the very first Rashi is there to tell us. Everything that follows comes from the idea that Koyach Masav Higid Le'amoy, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. If we understand that in context, then everything that follows is being done purely for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.